The first word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We don't even know all of our sins. We sin without thinking. We sin without realizing it. The soldiers who crucified Jesus did not know who Jesus really was. He died for their sins. The Jewish leaders should have seen Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, but they closed their ears and hardened their hearts. Jesus died for their sins too. And as he is being nailed to the cross, he prays for them to be forgiven. Jesus' love is universal for all people, for all sinners. That shows the boundlessness of God's love and mercy. It shows the certainty of God's forgiveness and the certainty of salvation to all who believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Father, forgive us for all our sins, when we know what we are doing and even when we do not. We sing stanza 3. The second word, today you shall be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross is often used to show how God's love and forgiveness is undeserved. That is true and sure, for this man was guilty, condemned by human judgment and by divine justice. He was a criminal, not deserving of anything but death and punishment. Yet as he is dying on the cross, he sees Jesus for who Jesus really is, the Son of God and the promised Savior of all nations. That thief is unworthy and can offer to Jesus nothing to gain or help his salvation. Like the lowly tax collector who bowed his head and humbly prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So here the thief entrusts himself into the hands of the one who can rescue and deliver him. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, the good shepherd, the physician of souls, heals this man's wounded spirit with the medicine of eternity, with the precious gospel of forgiveness and everlasting life. Today you shall be with me in paradise. Jesus, remember us too, and by your grace and mercy bring us to your heavenly kingdom. We sing stanza 4. The third word, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Humanly speaking, this is one of the most tender moments of Jesus' entire earthly life. Jesus cares not only for our spiritual needs, but provides us with all that we need for this body and life as well. The Creator made us body and soul. At the last day, he will raise up our bodies, so that we will be complete human beings in heaven. We as Christians believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Jesus here sees to it that his mother is taken care of after his death. he entrusts her to John, the disciple of love. John will care for her, both physically and spiritually, throughout her life, helping her also to prepare her for the life of the world to come. Here Jesus fulfills for us the fourth commandment by honoring his mother, and the fifth commandment by helping her in her physical needs. Lord, thank you for making us your brothers and sisters, and thank you for our daily bread. May we truly be grateful and use that nourishment to serve you and our fellow man throughout our life. We sing stanza 5. Fourth word, I thirst. Jesus' shortest and simplest statement from the cross connects him to our genuine humanity. He is not just some spirit being, not some phantom who could not suffer earthly pains. Conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, he became man. He is fully and truly our human brother who needed to eat and drink and sleep and do every other human thing that is necessary for human existence during his earthly life. We human beings could not save ourselves because we have inherited the sin of Adam and Eve. Because Jesus was born in a miraculous way through the Virgin Mary, God kept him from being tainted by sin. But in order for the human race to be saved, the person who paid for the sinfulness of mankind had to be a true human. The one who died for us had to be truly and fully man. Jesus is indeed our brother. He pays for our sins by his sinless life and his innocent death, by truly suffering and dying in our place. Jesus, our brother, good and strong, thank you for redeeming us by your blood. Grant that we may never again hunger and thirst, but may eat of the tree of life in your paradise. We sing stanza 6. The fifth word, my God, why have you forsaken me? We so often think of Jesus' physical pains during his passion, the beating, the whipping, the slapping, the crucifying. But a hymn writer tells us the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. And Isaiah had prophesied Jesus was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus' deepest suffering was being abandoned, being forsaken, being separated from God. In his deep anguish, suffering the torments of hell for the sins of the whole world, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a quotation from Psalm 22, a prophecy of the Christ. It was so striking and so important that the Gospels record it for us also in the original language, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. But Jesus was forsaken of his own will, dying willingly in our place. It is the only way to save his creation, his dear creatures, his beloved human race. Jesus' love is so great that he suffered the pains, the torments, the anguish of hell to spare us and give us heaven instead. God, do not forsake us, but be with us always with your grace and keep us unto eternal life. We sing stanza 7. The sixth word, it is finished. This brief word of Jesus, one word in the Greek, is astounding because it changes our eternal destiny. Because of our sinfulness inherited from Adam and Eve, and because of our own sinful thoughts, words, and deeds, we were condemned to die eternally, to be separated and forsaken of God forever, and to suffer the unending torments of hell. But Jesus, God's own Son, took on our punishment, atoned for all our sins, redeemed us from the grave, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Death is done for. Satan is conquered. Hell is vanquished. Salvation is completed. It is finished. We are set free. We will live forever. We need have no doubts at all about Jesus' work. It is perfect. It satisfies all of God's justice and covers the sins of the whole world, of every single person who has ever lived and will ever live. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is finished. We are saved. We sing stanza 8. The seventh word, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The time is also coming for us to depart from this world and this life. When Jesus had completed his saving work, he entrusted his spirit to God the Father at his death. Jesus is the eternal Son of God from eternity and to eternity, but he is also true man with body and soul. He saved not only our body, but also our soul. So that now when we face death at the time of God's choosing, we can entrust ourselves, body and spirit, into his gracious hands and know that the angels will carry us to the bosom of Abraham. Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abram's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearing. Jesus' seven words from the cross comfort us throughout our life. They calm our fears, they forgive our sins, they comfort our sorrows, and they promise to us the blessedness of heaven. May God bless us in hearing and meditating on these holy words, and by his Holy Spirit, keep us in true faith in Jesus Christ, our one, our only, our true Redeemer. Amen.